Yeah.
Good afternoon. Everyone. Welcome. My name is Danik Murphy, and I would like to convene a call to order the October 3rd meeting of the Mendocino City Community Services District Board of Directors meeting and public hearing on restaurants and expanded use and expanded space. Sorry. We are beginning our meeting now. We have, as agenda item number 5, a hearing and discussion on expanded space in the town of Mendocino for restaurants. This is tied to what the Board of Supervisors has done and the MHRB, and it's also tied to the State Division of Drinking Water's work around the issue of public water systems and those enterprises and organizations that are serving water to the public. So my name is Danik Murphy again, and we are recording this meeting, which is generally not our practice, but we wanted to make sure we had a record of everyone's comments. There is a cell phone up there and a cell phone here. We don't have the apparatus. We thought we might be able to get it, but we couldn't, so we're using cell phones. We're making 2 recordings here. The best recording will be put up on the website for people who are not here. And we also have one of our board members, Matthew Mitzak, is on his way to Ireland as we speak, so he's not going to join us. Also just wanted to acknowledge that I think I saw Supervisor Ted Williams come into the room. Is that Ted? Yeah, in the back. Thank you for joining us, Ted, and thank all of you. First of all, in terms of the board, agenda item number 2, are there any changes, suggestions, concerns about the agenda that we have?
No.
Okay, the agenda then is approved. Move on to public comment. Now, this is not public comment about restaurants. We have an agenda item 5, and that's where we're going to look forward to your comments and suggestions, et cetera. Right now, if anyone has a comment about other things not on the agenda, we'd be happy to hear from you. And in particular, if you have comments about groundwater management in general or any other issues, now's the time to step to the podium. And you've got 3 minutes. And you're going to be timing, is that correct? Thank you. You've got 3 minutes, and if you need a couple of extra seconds, 10 seconds or a little bit like that, that's fine. But we hope to not be here for a very long time this evening. So, and if you don't need the 3 minutes, please don't take them all.
Dave, just real quick. I don't think we went through the approval of the agenda formally.
Okay, so can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
Thank you, Donna.
I second.
Jim, you second. Any discussion? Will you take the roll?
Sure. Jim?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Ishvi?
Yes.
Dennett?
Yes, sorry. So any public comments?
Wait,
not about, sorry.
I'm sorry. I just want to read something from Ryan.
Oh, please, go ahead.
Ryan Rhodes, the district superintendent, is not here. He's very sick. So he wanted me to read this aloud. He says, I am writing to apologize for not being in attendance at the meeting tonight. As some of you may know, I am currently under the weather and do not wish to expose anyone here to what I am dealing with while I work to get better. I want you all to know that I really appreciate your participation at this meeting. I love when this community comes together to discuss some of the important issues we are facing and works together in a respectful and thoughtful manner to find solutions. I look forward to more discussions down at the MCCSD office as we help some of you through the applications process. I love this community and will continue to work hard to see it thrive for all of us. But tonight I have to focus on my own health. Thank you, Ryan Rhodes.
Thank you very much. Ryan, we had a conversation earlier today. He really wanted to be here, but it just doesn't make sense for him to. So public comment. Any public comment? Please.
Anybody else? No?
You can step up to the podium.
Thank you.
This is not about restaurants.
No, it's not about restaurants. By the way, thanks.
Can you also state your name, too?
I will.
Thank you.
Tony Graham, Patterson's Pub, celebrating our third decade. 30 years we've been here. Thanks for putting the meeting together in this venue. It really helps the boardroom at the sewer plant. It just is not conducive to public discussion, and I appreciate you doing this. Four decades ago, your predecessor board, not you, but your predecessor board, assumed responsibility for groundwater management. Now, four decades later, this board, and successive boards before you, are now one step closer to developing a water system in Mendocino. I haven't seen any wells drilled. I haven't seen any storage tanks. I haven't seen contracts being let. We don't even have a system going where we can truck water from the sewer plant to wells here in town. Water is not a political issue. We should not be using water as a device for de facto zoning. It is a health and safety issue. The city of Fort Bragg, this last year, found over $20 million in federal and state grants. They used it hiring a professional grant writer, not the MCCSD. We're delegating to an engineering firm who is not a grant writer the responsibility for writing grants, and they're doing it for free. Well, as the old adage goes, you get what you pay for. Over the last four decades, the various boards, I'm not accusing anybody here in particular, just the boards in general, have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on water studies to tell us, with the engineering firm down in Marin County, to tell us what we already know. Shallow wells with no water storage tend to fail. Deep wells with good water storage tend to survive droughts. And with a little bit of luck when you drill, maybe you'll find some water in an underground fractured aquifer. We are not a confined basin here like a bathtub. We find little streams in the fractured rock. To prove that point, just look at the number of water towers in town. Our predecessors knew what was going on. We're not learning anything new. And why we're spending so much money on these engineers to tell us what we know, I don't know.
Yes.
You can finish up. If anyone has comments that they aren't able to make within 3 minutes, you can submit them in writing, and I can assure you that they will be read and distributed to the full board.
I respect your 3 minutes. I had another 30 seconds to go, but that's okay.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
This is not about expanded dining, right? Please.
My name's Ed O'Brien. I served on the Community Services District for 22 years. I was here during the water wars. It tore the board apart, it tore the town apart. There were people that wanted a water system and people that didn't want a water system. First thing you have to do is, if you want a water system, is find the water. We spent most of that $300,000+ on looking for water. And we looked up Big River, we looked up the fire station, we looked at Casper. Every one of these was a difficulty thing. Water is for livelihood, but water is political. And every time we looked at somebody else's area, it came up very political. They did not want us looking in their area. So the idea that we wasted all this money, I'm sorry, but we didn't find water. We found some water at Big River. It was Dry Dock Gulch. It had a very good possibility, but it basically drained the septic systems of the prairie, pygmy, if you like. So it's also more or less owned by fish, as you'll see now if you go up there. So the idea that we just didn't do anything, it's not true. What we did find out is that if we can't find a reliable source of water close by, we're going to have to manage the groundwater that we do have. And that was what we came out of. And that's when we really realized that was our job. And that's when we started the concept of getting a permit for new wells and all these different things, which are difficult. They're difficult to manage. They're difficult because people are already there using the water. So it's something that we know was difficult. We did it the best we could. And successful people continued it. And I don't take it lightly that we didn't succeed. There is another motion trying to get started, is to look at the other side of this very same peninsula, over around Heaser Drive. It's state park property. And anybody that knows anything about state parks, they don't like development on their state parks, although the sewer system does sit on state park property. So it's not the idea that we have not looked, we didn't find. And I know a lot of people have good suggestions on where that water is. They've stepped up over the past, and it wasn't there. So I think we are in the groundwater management business because that's all we have. And I think that we can supplement it with the other side of the peninsula, but I don't think it's going to be a full-on water system. I don't think we have the money, and I don't think we are eligible for the grants that Fort Bragg gets. Fort Bragg is in the enviable position of being poor, and we are not. We just don't have any money.
Thank you.
That size of history yet. My name is Christina Arantoran. I am chair of Mendo Matters. I'd like to begin tonight by quoting Jim Shields' comments from yesterday's ADA. Shields is someone, if you're not aware, who's been very involved in government, having served as an elected and appointed official at both federal and local levels, and apparently someone whose opinion on the Brown Act has been sought out by former judges when they served on the Superior Court, as well as by current local government officials. He had the gall to say about aspects of the local governing process with regard to the Brown Act and remote meeting procedures. Quote, one of the few positive consequences of COVID emergency orders regarding local agency meetings is the opportunity for the public to participate remotely in those meetings. All reasonable measures to stimulate and foster participatory democracy should be embraced and supported by all, including elected officials. Remotely conducted meetings are a godsend for handicapped individuals and others with medical or physical restrictions that make in-person meeting attendance difficult, if not impossible, to do. Additionally, those with work schedule conflicts, childcare responsibilities, and transportation and distance of travel obstacles now have the option to participate via remote meeting technologies. End quote. We couldn't agree more. We also agree with your postponing last week's meeting out of respect to Yom Kippur and request that board members reconsider your current policy not to Zoom, record, post, or archive your meetings out of a similar respect for community members with medical or physical restrictions, disabilities, conflicts of work schedule, childcare responsibilities, transportation and travel obstacles, and so on, especially given our demographics and the fact that there are so many people who own property that don't live here. We're hoping the board can see to agendize this matter at a special or regular meeting this month. It's our intention to circulate a petition beginning next month, and we're sincerely hoping to avoid it and any unwanted intention it may bring the district. Thank you for your opportunity to comment. Katie, if you could please place these comments in the public record.
Sure.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Callie Dim, I'm the owner-operator of Little River Inn and the president of the board of the community center here. I'm here to float the idea of expanding the city services district. As you probably know, you have latent powers of recreation Well, we could expand the district. LAFCO would love it if you just snapped it to the MUSD borders, pre-designed districts. You only get what you pay for, so say every household gets $20 a quarter. I don't know. You give it to the community center. We're developing a senior program. That would be very helpful. Why would you do this? You would lower the median income, so it wouldn't be filthy rich anymore, so you could fix the public money to fix the sewer system. You would expand your base for board members. They're not all crazy people from Albion. The district could develop other water sources. I'll just give you an example. Little River Inn uses a quarter of the airport runoff to feed our ponds that feed the irrigated golf course. 75% of that water is just going into the earth. Grants could be available to develop that for fire suppression water. Little River Inn has a bunch of projects for drainage, water catchment, diversion. We're going after grants for a lot of these projects as a private for-profit most years. Corporation, there's not a lot of grants that we can go after, but RCD loves us because we're willing to be a community leader, do workshops, do interpreter programs, so they go after funding on our behalf, give it to us. It's very hard to define a community when you don't have boundaries, so if you guys expanded, the community would be automatic. RCD could go after grants for groups of private individuals for water catchment systems, rain gardens to get water back into the earth, all kinds of things. But it's really the sky's the limit. We just can't, you know, Little River Inn can't do it by ourselves. But if you guys expanded the district, we're all in it together, and there's tons of opportunity. Thank you for listening.
RCD, what is RCD?
Resource Conservation District. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, moving on then to number four, communication.
So this was submitted via email by Jean Arnold. Dear directors, I have been watching and to some extent participating in the conversations regarding the increased demand on our aquifer and aging sewer system caused by restaurants and bars increasing their service areas and numbers while decreasing the areas available for percolation into the soil. One trend I've noted is that the various government agencies making these decisions aren't checking any of the claims and information they are given by the business owners. Given that all these businesses have chosen to ignore the regulations that have been in place for many years once the pandemic emergency was declared over, I see no reason to believe that they will be honorable when reporting on things like their finances, water usage, and square footage used for dining and serving. These businesses were doing fine before the pandemic and their expansions, so they should be fine if they go back to their former footprints. But how they run their businesses is not the purview or concern of the MCCSD. The MCCSD's interest should be in receiving the full amount outlined in the regulations regarding sewer fees and square footage of serving area. I don't understand why bills haven't already been calculated and mailed out. To be fair to all, the district should survey the businesses and recalculate their monthly fees. That way, the calculations would be consistent from one to the next. And all the businesses serving food and refreshment should be required to have monthly meter reads done by the district, again, so that all are treated equally. Thank you for the very difficult jobs you do. It's a huge service to the community and never an easy one. Jean Arnold.
And to note that Jean is a former member of this board. Okay, we are at any other communication?
No.
Okay, thank you. We are at agenda item 5. A public hearing, and I would like to read a statement. I'm going to read it. I just want to make sure that I get touch all the things that I need to touch. So welcome to agenda item 5. We're glad you've joined us and look forward to hearing from all of you who wish to address this board. A few ground rules first. Everyone will get a chance to speak. Let me just ask for a show of hands. How many of you intend to make a comment? Okay. So I think we can be a little flexible with 3 minutes, but not a whole lot. You get 3 minutes at the podium, and you need to state your name before you begin. We will take as much time as needed and hope that we can get through this within an hour and 10 minutes or so. If you have comments that are less than 3 minutes, please be brief and don't take up the whole time. It would help everybody out, I think. If you have more to say, please submit your comments in writing. And if you have questions, we don't want to get into a debate here or to answer technical questions or things like that. If you have questions, you can either submit them in writing to the district, or you can come down to the district and meet with the superintendent, and he'd be happy to answer any questions and provide as much information as you might need. And we, as I said, we do not intend to engage in debate. The last thing I will say on this part is that all of us up here on the board are volunteers, so don't yell at us. And I think civility is really important in this process, so I ask all of you to be civil, and when you speak, if you could speak to the board and not to somebody that you're trying to poke. A couple of framing comments. As you know, the role of the MCCSD in the town of Mendocino is simply to manage street lighting, a 50-year-old sanitary sewer system, and simply or not, groundwater management. The issue of tents is not an issue for this district. We have no authority about it. MCCSD does have a mandate to manage the sewer system and groundwater, and to manage both with respect to expanded outdoor dining. COVID impacted our community. Everything was essentially closed and shut down. Restaurants were at risk, and the county provided an opportunity for outdoor dining, which kept the restaurants open and kept people fed outdoors. Then restaurants went back inside and kept the expanded dining space. Sometimes that space had always been there, it just wasn't covered with a tent. And in some situations, our records simply don't account for the use that the restaurants were using. So we need to update that. So all this gets pretty complicated. To make it more complicated, the State Division of Drinking Water wants to license any enterprise serving water to the public as a public water system. And the county and MHRB need to now enforce building codes and ensure changes made are consistent with the historical nature of the town. As you know, last month, the Board of Supervisors created a 12-month window to figure all this out. The job of this board and district staff is to make sure our decisions are fair and balance the interest of residents, businesses, and others like churches, schools, and visitors. Please remember, board members are volunteers. As I said, there are at least three different agencies focused on permitting restaurants in Mendocino: the State Division of Drinking Water, MCCSD, and the State Water Resources Control Board, Division of Drinking Water. We have a list up here that of those agencies, as well as contact information. So if you need to contact them, if you haven't, that's the place to go. Katie would be happy to provide that information to you as well. I think it's important to say that if you get a pass from one of these agencies, that doesn't mean that you get a pass from the other. All three of them have regulations, and all three of them are going to require you to engage with them to make sure that you meet those regulations and those requirements. We at MCCSD intend to work with members of our community to make sure our decisions are fair and balanced regarding groundwater and sewer service fees and permits. In some cases, restaurants will have to demonstrate they have sufficient water for expanded dining space. Additionally, monthly fees for groundwater management and sewer systems will be required. And federal law requires that all users of a sewer system have to contribute to its maintenance, repair, and replacement. Our sewer system is 50 years old, and many parts of it are failing. In fact, we have an agenda item later in the agenda where we're looking to spend over $110,000 to replace a rusted out underground air pipe line that is, if when it rains, the ground around it is bubbling. So, and if that fails, the system fails and the town shuts down. When a property is developed with a new home or business or expanded use, The owner has to pay a certain amount to hook into the sewer system. This is called a right-of-use fee. Same is true for expanded dining. We are requesting that all restaurants that have expanded dining during COVID submit a groundwater extraction permit application and sewer permit application forms. And then we can begin the work to assess what next needs to be done. These applications should be submitted by November 30th. We will send out a letter in within 10 days or 2 weeks to all of those businesses asking them to do the same. Again, MCCSD requirements, we require a new groundwater extraction permit for all new development, changes in use, or expansions in existing use. The application needs to be submitted in writing. MCCSD requires a permit for sewer use, a sewer lateral right of use application for all new development, changes in use, or expansions of existing use which increase water demand on the property. MCCSD has a control ordinance for fat, oils, and grease mitigation, which Ryan can talk to you about. It's more complicated than I can relate here, but if you're a restaurant, you should talk with him about that. Again, the district will be sending letters out to restaurant and property owners believed to be out of compliance currently by October 16th. And again, to end, the district appreciates your attendance and participation today. It's important for us to hear what you have to say, and we look forward to hearing that. Thank you. So anyone wishing to make a comment can now come to the podium, and please just help yourself.
Yes, my name is Bill Zimmerman. I'm going to set a good precedent. That's how long my statement is.
Thank you, Bill.
Because a public water system is millions of dollars and many years down the road, I propose an immediate cap on the number of restaurants in this town, the number of chairs in each restaurant, the amount of water usage for each restaurant based on their recent readings, irrespective of unrealistic allotments, that MCCSD monitor restaurant water draw coming out of the ground and impose a stiff luxury tax on excessive draw to fund a reimbursement account for fellow citizens who run out of water. The issues these proposals address should be part and parcel of the general reappraisal of MCCSD and county departmental inputs over this next year. That's
it. Thank you. Did you provide a copy of that?
I have it.
Great. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jeannie Dobbins, and I live in town, and I work at the pub. And I'm not sure if you folks are aware, and I'm sure that you've seen, on Main Street in Mendocino, all the RVs that are parked camping on Main Street. And did you know that they take their cassettes out of their vehicles and dump them into our public bathrooms and flush them down the toilet? So this is something that needs to be addressed much more than the few flushes from the restaurants, in my opinion. Mostly they use the ones down at the Headlands. I've seen them do it. They go early in the morning, they take their cassettes out of their Sprinter vans and run to the bathroom and they dump them down and they flush them away. So I don't know if maybe signs could go up or cameras can go up, or how to deal with that, but it's a problem. Even maybe signs on Main Street saying no overnight parking, but they are using our public water, our public sewage, for dumping their canisters into our sewage system. And then I just wanted, this is our calendar that we leave at Patterson's next to our well, and every morning I do a water report, and I keep a running track of exactly how much water we use every day. And the meter reading's right here. If the board wants to come and do that for me, great, I have it. You can come and do it. Come in through the back, it's hanging on the door, take your water report. I'm fine with that. We don't use any more than 800 to 900 gallons a day, tops. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
I will say, and perhaps Mr. Williams, you can confirm, I think the public restrooms in town are under the jurisdiction of state parks. And in terms of parking, I think that's probably a county issue. Is that fair?
County and decisions by the courts.
And county and?
And decisions of the courts. We have limited ability to restrict beyond a 24-hour
Okay. All right, thank you for that, and thank you for your comment. Others?
Point of order, I spoke with state parks, and they have no jurisdiction over camping, but they do have jurisdiction over the toilets for the public restroom.
Thank you. Other comments, please?
Christina Aaron here again, Mental Matters. We've been concerned with board communications during recent meetings related to this issue. When discussing outdoor dining and the tents that are above them and expanded use, to hear the board and staff speak of definitive violations in district ordinances, of added impacts to water resources and sewer loads, and then hear you speak about accommodating business needs, about informal conversations with business owners and business people, and expanding economic development in general, without referencing the district's residents, we become concerned that voices and perspectives are not being considered, but rather ignored and dismissed. The district's primary responsibility is to treat the community's wastewater and manage its groundwater resources. It matters little that the superintendent apparently likes tents and surmises that they have a lot of public support. This does not qualify as a staff report. Your purview is resources and infrastructure capabilities. The district is not authorized to foster, promote, or organize economic development. A cursory consult of your latent powers clearly shows you lack the authority to promote commercial development, as this board appears to be doing. Additionally, we are concerned with language at a recent meeting to form an ad hoc committee in order to avoid public meetings, especially when the board described the Brown Act as being cumbersome. This is state bedrock law whose intent it is that your deliberations and actions be taken openly. The people and delegating authority do not give their public servants the right to decide what is good for the people to know and what is not right for the people to know. Instead, we insist on remaining informed so that we may retain control over the instrument that we have created, the MCCSD. Having terms like bending policy and opinions of a free fall that rent restrictions will create are also concerning without the data to support it. Likewise, Directors Murphy and Sullivan comprise the Plant Op Committee and Sullivan the entirety of the Groundwater Management Committee. It is not okay that Director Murphy nominated himself and Sullivan to form an ad hoc committee since they represent forums of standing committees. And it's not okay to exclude interested members of the public in order to avoid compliance with the Brown Act, since those meetings would then become public. I'd like to recommend otherwise. First, that the ad hoc committee is dissolved, and secondly, a brand new committee is formed in its place, which includes directors and members that reside downtown. These are the people who are most impacted. The current committee members do not live downtown and are simply not impacted in the same way many other residents are. Thank you again, and please place these comments in the record.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Who would like to be next?
I'm a resident of Mendocino and own a business in town. And I also do a lot of policy consulting throughout Northern California, a lot of cities and counties. And one of the things I wanted to talk about is I think we've come a long way as a species since a lot of the laws were written around our water management here in Mendocino. And I think that some of the math is based on some crude approximations that don't work well and they specifically don't reward efficiency. Like we can see that not every car on the road uses the same amount of gas. And I think that's also true when we look at businesses. And I've seen a lot of the restaurants adopt a lot of water saving technologies and strategies. And so we might say, okay, perhaps there's a little more square footage being taken up, or maybe they're serving more customers, but that doesn't necessarily result in an increase of water usage. So I think as we're looking at our water management and we're thinking holistically about how to meet everyone's needs, we need to be based on, we should look at rewarding efficiency and also acknowledging it and that the math may not add up in the same way. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment.
I'm sorry, your last name again?
Bodner.
Bodner, thank you.
Thank you. Other comments, please.
Thank you. Tony Graham, Patterson's Pub, Mendocino. I guess I've been living in a parallel universe. I thought for the last 30 years that I've been sending in my water meter readings, you were basing my billing based on my water usage. I've come to find out just recently that it's based on some antiquated formula that the old board came up with some 30, 40 years ago, based on square footage, number of toilets, number of feet in a bar, number of this. I tried to figure it out a couple of times. According to that formula, I'm supposed to be using thousands of gallons of water a day. Well, guess what? I am using 850 gallons of water per day, and that is with the tent post-COVID. Before the tent, it was 750. My net increase is only 150 gallons per day. The Mendocino Hotel and the Hill House have seating capacity for 500 seats. They have not served a lick of food or the bar in a number of years. The restaurant's closed. They do a little in-house breakfast stuff, but that's it. They're not open to the public. Those 500 seats are built into your system based on this formula. The four restaurants we have in town that are tented, aggregate, is about 200 seats. There is no net increase in the amount of water that these four tented restaurants are using. When you compare it to those two businesses that have shut down, plus the other facilities that have shut down and never came back from COVID. So would you please, if you can, reconsider how you calculate water usage? Every municipality and jurisdiction bases it on your meter readings. We all have meters now. 40 years ago we didn't, but we do now. So let's base it on the reality. If you go to the gas station to fill up your car, you do it with a meter. And if you want to fill up with premium, if you're a restaurant, that's the price. If you want to fill up as a residence using regular, that's the price. You vary it according to the type of establishment you're dealing with. Let me finish up by asking a very rhetorical question. Why does this board want to be in the business of groundwater management?
If that's a rhetorical question, why don't you answer it?
I don't think you should. The board, 30 years ago, voted itself the authority to manage groundwater. This board can do the very same thing and say, we no longer have an interest in managing groundwater. Leave it to the state. Let them do it. They have the resources, they have the personnel, they have the talent, the engineering, and the money. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments?
Maggie O'Rourke. I'm a resident of Mendocino, a business owner of Mendocino. I wrote the groundwater ordinance and the state enabling statute almost 30 years ago. And it's not just this board who can change it, it's a state law that enables this board. But in terms of the value of this, as a resident and as a business owner, I'm gratified that someone's monitoring this precious resource. I'm happy that there is some type of regulation on this. And in terms of the demand on our system, what I hear most often is that it's businesses in town that run out of water and have extra demand on water. And right now we've got three private community water systems. My suggestion for the businesses would be to set up their own community private water system. Buy a lot in town, it's got a good water recovery, pipe it to your establishments. Don't have to worry about anybody managing your groundwater ever again, and that will relieve the groundwater demand in this community when we take the center of town, which really has the greatest draw, away from that demand, and we can make sure that we allocate it more fairly to our residents. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ed O'Brien. The idea that we can bill according to how much you use could be a problem for certain groups of people. the total amount of money that it costs to run the district is $1,385,000 and some other stuff. That's $3,795 a day. Daily flow is about 90,000 gallons a day. It costs 4 cents a gallon to do that. When we set up the sewage fees originally, then we used the sewage fee to figure out the water fee. It's been difficult, there's no doubt about it. The board at that time was all local people. They grew up here, they knew all the people. They knew they needed a water system, they needed a sewer system, and they needed to do it as inexpensively as they could for the local people who lived here, because they didn't have any money at that time. This is in 72, 73. So they stuck it to the businesses. There's no doubt about it. They stuck it to the offices. They stuck it to the retail people. And they tried to make it so that the homeowners wouldn't be paying a lot. If you do that 4 cents a gallon, Patterson's now pays $450 a month to 750 gallons at 4 cents, that'd be $900. Out of this world, which is retail down below and offices upstairs, they have a 36 gallon a use a day, that's it. They pay $145. So it was intentional to try to take it to the people who could afford to do it, and that was the businesses. And if the out of this world was to then have the 4 cents a gallon, they would be doing it at $43 instead of $145. So that was the original idea. And if we want to change that, it's going to have some winners and some losers. The houses would go instead of $90 or $80, whichever we're at now, it'd be about $120. So this was the best they could do at the time. I don't think we've changed our opinion as to how it can work. So if you can change it and be fair, go ahead.
Thank you, Matt. Additional comments?
Well, in the comments, they saw my metering since 2007. I have so my allotment is 2320 gallons a day. I'm using 20 to 30% of that usually. But what I want to say is I am happy to share. I have a really great well. I think we should make a real community water system. I have no problem with whatever excess I have going to people who have less or none. That cannot affect my business too adversely. Sadly, what I can see, well, not sadly to you, but what I can see is I'm not using any more water. All of the tables that I moved outside and bought any more furniture, it's because we all want more space. We all want less COVID. We get it that this is an improvement in the way we do business. So I'm not using more. I have the same, and I'm happy to share what I have in service. Thank you.
Thank you. Who would like to be next?
I bought a water meter from the MCCSD a couple weeks ago and installed it. And since that time, I've been monitoring, and we're using approximately 3,200 gallons a week, which is shockingly below our allotted usage given to us, which I believe after I absorbed the Sunrise Cafe in the back, as well as applied and was granted the real estate office next door to me, I'm allotted 3,600 a day, which we're using, you know, 600-700 gallons a day in exchange of that. And I would think that the citizens that live in town and are concerned about their water would want the local run businesses to help pay for stuff and not try and shut our revenue streams down. It's not us trying to flush all the toilets. You know, I mean, we're accommodating the visitors that are coming here, not just for the restaurants, but for the fresh air and the sunshine and this beautiful town. And we all love it. We all the four restaurants, I believe all our local owned businesses of people that grew up or raised their children here, and we all want this place to succeed as well. We're not riding the tent or square footage train to the bank at all. We're providing some jobs, and we're trying to solve problems along with you guys. And to blame restaurants when there's so many Airbnbs and who knows how many long showers and baths and who's got leaky toilets in these 100 or 200 year old buildings and how many roots have punctured the systems underneath the ground, to blame the four restaurants with a few extra seats outdoors is a little bit backwards and asinine in my opinion.
Thank you, Debbie. Additional comments? Anyone else, please? Yes.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lynn Robinson. I am a resident and also a business owner. I appreciate the board for your volunteering time and effort to steer us in the right direction. I also appreciate the fact that MCCSD is not the only entity that should get involved with the water resources. It is true that the State Water Safety Board, MCCSD, the sewage system, both from federal and state, should get involved. And I also want to acknowledge that, yes, there are many studies have been done before, and we should really look back the study and learn from it and not repeat and waste money. And I want to appreciate the restaurant and their hard work, because they bring in a lot of the happiness factor in this town. We could have a perfect system and set up the perfect calculation, but if we don't enjoy life, that's pretty sad. So I really want to show appreciation instead of complaint for all the people who have contributed to this beautiful town. And when I bought my house in town, when National Geographic photographer from Sweden, from Germany, stopped in front of my front yard and said, oh my God, it's the most beautiful town in the world. And it's not because of me or my garden, it's because of all these people who work hard to make it so. And I want you to remember that, and you're part of that. And let's work together and find a solution and not blame anyone. So thank you.
Thank you for the last comment and for all of them. Is there anyone else who would like to make a comment, share something with the board here? So again, I thank you. All of you who made comments and all of you who came, we are, let me, before I adjourn for just a few minutes, let me just ask, are there any board members that would like to make a comment?
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment to this. This is a very complicated subject, and the studies, the engineering side of the community water system and the politics, it's very, very complicated. And I'd like to see the board dedicate a fair amount of time to this project of figuring out how we're going to develop a community water system, because it ties into this idea of expanded use. And as I've been thinking about this in my short time on the board, what I've noticed is that the conflict really comes into play because we have use is of our property being set based on an allotment that is given to each property, not based on the use of the water on that property. So using Ed's example of out of this world, because of its nature of its use, it has a very low water use. If they wanted to expand that to a new process, a new product, they wanted to open a restaurant in there, for instance, they might run into a difficulty with that, not based on their actual water, but based on a formula of the allotment. And if they can't prove that they are within their allotted amount of water, it's a non-starter for them unless they're going to go through a difficult process of drilling a well and doing a hydrological study and proving that they have the water, rather than using efficiencies, like Sarah talked about, to try to be able to do their project with the water that they have or the water that they can creatively get from their neighbor Mary or somebody else who's willing to share water with them. And I think this is really the difficult thing, is that we need to continue to monitor groundwater so that we know what's going on. But rather than trying to make the businesses or the residents comply with an allotment that is somewhat arbitrary in nature and doesn't necessarily take into account all of the efficiencies that have been gained or even what time of year it is. You know, you can irrigate a lot in the spring without affecting anybody's water. You have to taper that off in the summer. That's how you farm when you have a limited amount of water. We've got a system that says you can use the same amount of water in April as you can in October. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. We need to have this thing be more adapted to the real world. So what I would propose that we think about is that we suspend the permitting process for groundwater extraction, because that's what these folks are going to come into. When you're going to send out a letter on the 17th, you're saying, come and get a groundwater extraction permit. They're going to need to prove that their square footage will fit within their allotment. That's what they're going to have to prove. If they can't prove that, then they're going to be out of compliance with our system. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's how I understand this letter that we're going to send to them. And the next effect is going to be that. If, in fact, they are using way under their allotment and the amount of square footage that they increase it to still fits within their allotment, they're not going to run into a problem. But if it doesn't, they will. So I guess, again, this is so complicated, you get kind of turned around as you talk about it. But I think what I'm trying to say is that we need to set up a system where we monitor so that we can find leaks, so that we can see how much water use is, but we need to get out of the game of saying, prove that you have this water before you can decide whether you want to, say, convert a commercial space to a residence or a commercial space to a restaurant or any number of the changes that zoning already covers for us in this town. It's too big a job for a 5-person board, in my opinion, to be responsible for the zoning of the town.
Thank you. Just to be clear, our comments are our own comments. It's not board policy, just so that everyone's clear.
Absolutely.
And we've got work to do. Jim?
Yeah, I just want to add that, you know, as you can see, water is a complicated issue, and we are working what is called the SAFER program, and we have a representative that's actually helping us through this process with the state that is going to be looking at our community, the geology, and looking for resources, water resources that could be available for us to develop potentially a water system if that's the way we want to go. And Holly, if you want to introduce yourself, put you on the spot. And
I was expecting it.
Yeah.
I'm Holly Securitas, I'm a civil engineer. I actually live in Fort Bragg in Cleon. And this project serendipitously fell in my lap. I happen to live here. I'm a water engineer, that's what I do for 17 years. And I'm working. Actually, our contract is based with the State Water Resource Control Board. We have a technical assistance contract with them to be the technical assistance provider. And we already have a relationship with the NCCSD, so this worked out perfectly. And I'm in the process of putting together a work plan where I'm describing exactly what it is we're trying to do. And so far we have two really important tasks. One is to find water. There's three really important tasks. One is to figure out what the boundary will be, who needs water, and that's going to be an iterative process. Two is to find the water, so we're going to do a source water study. And, you know, three is to make sure that we're communicating with everybody, and everybody gets their chance to voice what they want. Yeah. So it is happening, and within the next couple months, we'll have a contract with the state, and we'll be moving forward to a June due date of an actual feasibility study and a source water study.
And I wanted to add, for that source water study, the data that we've been gathering for the 30-some years that we've been doing, monitoring of the monitoring wells in the town, they'll be used, to produce these maps, let's say, of, groundwater over time. And that's going to help us in our planning process to identify those areas that could be good resources for us going forward, looking at groundwater. So I think there's some exciting things that the community is going to be involved with, and we're looking forward to working with GHD and the State Saver program, as this goes forward.
We're going to have at least two community meetings where everybody can come and listen to what we're brainstorming and share their opinions as well. So that's really important that, this is, as one of the earlier speakers said, it's going to take everybody working together to figure this out.
And I'd like to introduce also, not the back, okay. I always do that, so never mind what I just said.
Hang on. So, Donna, do you want to share? Ed, you have a comment?
I just wanted to ask Holly if the other side of the peninsula was part of your water source search? Groundwater on the other side?
When you say the other side of the peninsula?
Yes. Geezer Drive, what circles around? Circles approximately the same size as we have over here.
We are going to be looking holistically at the whole community and specifically within the existing MCCSD boundary, the water systems that are already within it. And I think that includes three different larger water systems, and then a lot of little tiny ones, like the pub, for example, and consolidating them.
I was just curious if her organization was involved in building new wells.
No. So, go ahead, quickly.
Holly, where does EPR fit into your plans? Are you considering direct potable reuse at all?
We haven't started a feasibility study yet, but we're considering all different alternatives at this point in terms of where we're going to find water.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Holly. I would just like to say that I believe that climate change is going to have a dramatic impact on the coast, everywhere, but certainly on our coast. And I think figuring out ways that build water resiliency and use it more effectively and efficiently is important. There are lots of different ways of doing that. And you've heard a couple tonight. There'll be, as Holly said, there'll be future opportunities to discuss a community water system or other approaches to building water resiliency for our community. And as a member of this community, I know that I live up on the hill a little bit with a well that has 19 families attached to it. And at the worst, the depths of water was 13 feet for us. So it's a great well. And there are a couple of other wells like that in the community. And we get a lot of rain most years. And we can use that more efficiently for dry periods. And so there's lots of things to think about and lots of work to be done to figure some of these questions out going forward.
I'd like to say one more thing. I firmly believe that when we're planning our resources, we're going to become swamped with people fleeing the heat inland, and we better develop a system that can accommodate this. I'm a firm optimist that we're going to be swamped with people. We have been since I was a kid. People would come over in Chico to freeze to death very gladly for a week. And it's getting more and more, it's going to be coming this way. Their choices are very limited. And we're not ready for it. We're going to be in here a week trying to figure it out.
Yes. So, any last comments? We're going to take a brief recess for 5 minutes. I want to thank you.
Close the public hearing.
Okay. I'd like to close the public hearing. Thank you, Jim. And appreciate all of your comments and contributions. These discussions are ongoing, and we'll look forward to engaging with the restaurants in town and dealing with some of these other issues going forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You had a very good meeting. Take care.
You said, have a good night. Approving a maintenance agreement for a blower. We're talking about recycled water projects.
When is the town hall meeting to like brainstorm ideas of water and stuff like that?
So that's a good question. I think
Ted needs to plan something where like we sit around and we can
to brainstorm
how to solve the problem. You know, so, like this kind of thing. Only like everybody's sitting around like, going, hey, what about a desal plant? Where are we gonna? You know, I don't know. It just seems like there needs to be a conversation.
I think that's a little. Yeah, I agree. I think we need to do that.
We're all willing to try and help fix it, and we all have thoughts and ideas, and like a lot of people have deep reach. You know, like reach in different areas of the country or like the system. You know, I don't know, like grant writers or whatever.
So good. For example, the community water system.
Yeah, like I was talking to these guys about the desal idea. Like we have so much water in the ocean right here. Like why aren't we trying to figure out that? Like why aren't we doing steam? Why aren't we doing something to like be innovative instead of like trying to hoard what we have left? Like why aren't we trying to find like solutions to where in Israel they have like all the desal, they have the burning the garbage for the electricity, they have solar, they have everything that they need to have a country functioning in the desert with like agriculture and flushing toilets. Why are we just like clutching to the last drops that we have instead of like thinking forward? You know, I just don't get it. Like,
that's a really complicated question that has
a lot of
a
answers.
A million ways to
total.
Engage in. Okay. The work with Safer. And there, just to let you know, there are a couple different things that are actually true.
I mean, when is this? Is this every board meeting you guys have these conversations? Or like, how do we be a part of this?
So it'll be an agendized thing, but there's always the opportunity to come during public comment if it's not an agendized thing, and you can comment about things that are not on the agenda. But
yeah, like this whole square footage thing. Like, how do we get into this conversation? If like, you know, like, well, I guess it has to do with one by one. The, you know, my story is different than his story and her story is different. So it's basically on a one-by-one basis on that level. But as far as getting it to change from square footage to, like, number of
cells. That's a specific question about metrics that the district has that he uses to establish metrics.
Which everybody thinks, oh, it's crazy to do square footage because Sandra has this big garden tent, but she only has 5 tables. So, like, how do you... I know you guys are. When do we have this conversation about restructuring the metrics or whatever? Is that the state or is that, like, who does that?
That's a good question.
Because the square footage thing, even, like, lawyers are saying that's not
I've just had like a few lawyers be like, that's not even like allowed. Like they can't not measure it and then say you can't use it or something. There's certain weird stuff about it. So I just wondered, like, you know, yeah, at what point do you guys revisit the way that you structure your metrics? That square footage thing versus the number of seats or the use of.
So here's what's going to happen, what I think is going to happen. Hopefully you and others, Sandra and everyone else, will fill out the application.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely. You know, I'm waiting for Richard to get back from Europe so that he can
be part of that. Tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. I just texted him. He's like, I'm in the truck now. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And then I think then the district and the staff and the board are going to be faced with some of the questions that you're raising.
On a one-by-one basis,
and then we're going to have to come together and figure out, so is this fair and equitable?
So is it like, I apply, then you go to a closed office, you guys discuss it, you come back to me, it's like, oh, this is going to cost you $5,000 a month to have that much square footage, and then I go, oh my God, there's no way I can do that, and then you guys go deal with it in a meeting, or like, how does it work?
I don't know exactly how it's going to work, but it's a challenge that we
is
have
to address. Is it Richard? Is it me at this, in my situation? Like, because he's the property owner?
Richard is the property owner.
Right.
You can be his agent in addressing this issue. But for his property and his wealth, everything is calculated.
Because I'm only monitoring what I'm taking now. Like, I put a meter just on my intake.
For your
intake. Because
intent.
He didn't have that.
Yeah.
And so, for what I know, I have no idea what every other little business is. Who's got a leaky toilet or a leaky faucet or anything else, because that building is ancient.
I think
as our most.
I think that's smart.
In fact, one time we were like, why aren't we getting enough water? Like, why are we filling? Why are we calling? Well, it turned out that the roots had broken our pipes and it was like gushing under the ground. And finally, thanks to us, we found it. I don't know if he would have ever found it. He was just used, oh, my well's bad. No, your well's not bad. We had broken pipes. And it was like pouring out like a fire hydrant. You know?
So,
it's just so complicated, I know.
It's complicated. We need, you know.
Who besides the businesses wouldn't want to fix this, you know what I mean? Like, we're so desperate to fix it so that we can be here and go forward. Like, we're so not trying, you know, we want to help. Like, we need to have...
As you heard, there are people in the community that don't want chance, they don't want
to expand
the rest
of the because why aren't, like, you know how many quiet Airbnb little apartments there are in this town? I know about so many of them. How many back shots, unpaid taxes.
So, Kenny, we've got a framework that we need to work within at this point. That's the starting point.
Yeah. It's just weird for them to point the finger at, like, the four local people.
Nobody up here is blaming you guys for anything.
I love the idea of running pipes through the streets to the four of us buying a property in town to like run pipes from there to.
Well, there's lots of work, and we're going to need creative ideas. And it's not going to be an easy thing. And nobody's going to do the blame game, but it's not going to be easy.
I guess I just wonder, like, why don't we shut down that bathroom on the Headlands? I mean, that's a big, like, a bathroom that everybody's complaining about.
It's not ours to shut down.
But, like, why isn't State Parks, like, are they, you know, realize, like, how, what's going on with it? People is using it as a dumping grounds and stuff? I don't know. It just seems so. And then Harvest Market, like, everybody, if they didn't have our bathroom, they'd go there, or they do. It's just like, are they, I don't know.
So if I may, because I think that you do have a lot of really good ideas and that you are in touch with what's going on.
What's my next
and
step?
People listen to you, right?
You're
using your voice on Facebook, but people are engaging with what you're saying.
There were a few good suggestions, and it was very
complicated. And it's not going to be overnight, so I think this is what we have to start.
And it's an issue that we want to help.
And so...
We don't want to stop the progress.
Yeah. No, so I would suggest personally, like, come up, like, talk to people. You talk to people. And then bring ideas, right? It's like,
I feel like there needs to be some kind of, like, you know, like I said, like a town hall.
I know.
Kind of like,
and maybe there does.
Because this kind of thing needs to happen more often.
I agree.
Township can get together
totally
and actually, you know, communicate and solve problems instead of this weird, like, this should be awesome. Why is it?
We don't have the technology. Yeah, we have Ryan's laptop. Like, that's it. So we're a little constrained by what we can do.
All right, if we'll be in touch about what light is, because mine's complicated because I'm not the landlord.
Yeah.
All right, but late, Danik.
Did you see most of it?
I got here in the middle of the public comment. If she said something about you guys being on Twitter, all the agencies or all the water people, all of your clients.
Not all of them. We're going to send it out to the restaurant.
Just to restaurants, and it's about water sewage per square footage, or it's about water sewage usage?
It's about
demand.
It's about they have to fill out a stormwater extraction permit application and a sewer permit application.
That's our service.
Once they fill that out, then we're going to sit down with them. We've got a metrics. Metrics that we're going to apply. And there are going to be lots of questions that come up about do they have sufficient water for the expanded space.
Okay, and that's going out in October.
Oh, so it's like Ryan said today that it was by October 16th.
Okay.
And he can get you a copy of that later.
Nope, I don't need it. Put it here, guys. It's next week.
And then we're going to take time then sitting down with each of the restaurant owners and saying, okay, here's a metric. Apply it to your situation. What does this look like? And it's different for each one. So Tony, for example, is I believe that Tony's, that Patterson, is as far as our records, it's just a bar. No food. That's what he's
paying. Yes, that
and,
is true.
And so we need to make it a restaurant.
So the way we
and
have
that's
encoded
a different
it is... I understand that.
So each of these situations is going to be different, and then we're going to have to figure out, are there any... Is there work that we need to do? Put it that way. Is there work that we need to do as a district and as a board to make sure that things are equitable? That makes sense?
It does. The other question I had was, what is Sarah's last, no, Holly's last name?
Here.
Sincudis.
We're expecting her to stay for something else? Are we expecting Holly to stay for something else? No, okay.
And she said three things that she's focusing on. The first one I didn't get. The second one was finding water. And the third was communication with the agency.
So the second one was boundary. What's the boundary? So find water, what is the boundary, and then communicate with everybody.
So the boundary of the water district. Okay.
Or the boundary of, right, where this, if there is going to be a community water system, what is the boundary?
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want her card?
No.
Yeah, she has more.
No, I don't.
I'll just take this one.
No. I just didn't get her last name. And I kind of got the impression she was under a state agency. This looks like a private card.
It's a private card that's contracted with a state agency.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So, Holly, let me introduce you.
Oh, awesome.
So, and I can't remember your name.
Oh, this is Jesse.
My name's Jesse Waldman, and I work with the Planning and Building Services for Mendocino County.
All right.
And your card does not state water resources control.
No, I work
with GHD. But you are contracted by that agency. And so I wanted to find out what your last name was.
You can have this.
Okay, I'll take your card. I didn't bring any cards. But you were saying like community meetings and like we're like the county is working on what our policy is going to be and then how we're going to be communicating with all the different agencies, including MCCSD, the state.
Great. We need to include her on our call.
You don't.
No?
You need to include the director of Planning and Building Services. All right. She couldn't be here today, and I...
What's her name?
Julia Krog.
Okay.
I have to get her.
And I figure there's going to be some kind of group thing. Yeah, it is also our superintendent. But yeah, I just wanted to... thank you for your card. Sorry you didn't bring any. Thank you, Denik.
Do I need to say?
I did it last night.
Every time.
Every month. Every first Sunday of the month.
Bye.
Have a great night.
You too.
Hi, I'm Jenny. Hi, Donna. Hi, Jim. Nice to see you. All right. See you guys all later. I know I already talked to Ishvi, so it's not that I'm ignoring him. Have a great night.
Okay. If we can reconvene our meeting. Thank you. So, reconvene the October 3rd meeting of the Mendocino City Community Services District. We are now at agenda item 6, financial report. Katie?
As you can see this month, the bookkeeper sent over our reconciliation report rather than everything laid out. But ultimately, we brought in $165,384 and we wrote checks for $210,828. But part of that $210,000 includes money that came in through the state in order to go out to GHD. So it sounds like big numbers, and it is big numbers, but it is not us spending it. It's us getting and then distributing. Yeah, so
this is part of the grant,
right?
The project up the hill for water storage.
Right. Yeah. So if you had any questions on the reconciliation about any of the spending, I'm happy to do my best to answer your questions.
Okay. Are there any questions?
Yes. Who's USA Blue Book?
USA Blue Book is a company that we order a ton of supplies through, ranging from gloves to testing kits and such.
Who's O'Connor Company?
They're our auditor.
That's our auditor. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then Liberty Case
Cassidy Whitmore. They are attorneys. They are HR attorneys, but they also have been helping in conflict of interest and public records request. Issues.
Okay, so that's another attorney firm that I have not seen before. Is that correct?
No,
and Jackson. And this is another one.
They have been helping with some personnel issues also. So they actually have submitted bills in the
past.
Okay,
maybe I haven't seen one. This is the first time I have.
Okay.
Yeah. Am I right in understanding that we are currently engaged with three separate attorneys firms at this point?
We are currently engaged with three separate. Dealing with three different kinds of issues, yes.
Okay. I guess, I don't know if I can comment on that, but it seems to me it would be great if we could find a firm that could perhaps be a little bit more able to handle all of our issues, because that seems expensive. And then I saw Jackson Law Offices again, and again I saw him here again tonight. Why are we having an attorney come to a public meeting? Is that necessary?
Both Ryan and I felt that it would be important to have legal counsel here. And my understanding is that Ryan has actually developed, Katie, is this correct, that he's actually developed or working on an RFQ for legal services?
Yeah, so I put together an RFQ for legal services. We need it to be reviewed. Because I'm not a lawyer, we need it to be reviewed by some helpful humans, at which point we will go out. We have a few law firms that people have said, you guys should really engage this law firm for these reasons. We'll make sure that it gets in their hands and then also put it out for anybody to respond to it.
Okay, what about the current firms that we're using? We're not satisfied with Sullivan or...
We don't have Sullivan. So we have Jim Jackson, Chris Hamer, which is Stokes Hamer and somebody.
Oh, okay, that's the one I was thinking.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was Sullivan.
Oh, no, uh-uh. Okay. And then we have Liebert Cassidy Whitmore.
Okay. And we're not satisfied with any of those, so we're going to put out an RFQ to find a new one?
I would not say that, no.
Okay.
I think that's a statement that... That you can make, but I'm
no. I'm just curious. It seems like we're looking for another attorney.
I think we have multiple and complex legal issues that we need to address. We have traditionally had a local attorney who was here this evening. We have engaged a law firm on litigation that has been, in my view, much more effective than prior legal counsel.
That's Stokes.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we have these folks who have helped with a variety of rather complex complex issues. And I think it would be best if we can identify one source, one firm that can manage all of those things.
Right. I'm just trying to understand.
We probably should have this agendized because it's not a...
A what?
It sounds like we're kind of getting
this is
off.
Not agendized, you're right. We should.
Okay.
We should. But,
right.
So
can I request that you're agendized?
You certainly can, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'd like to request that this be agendized.
Yeah, it seems like we're kind of getting off the...
We are indeed, yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, so the current... any other questions about disbursements?
So, all right. I guess the way I'd like to have that agendized is what, legal counsel?
Yeah.
For in general? Use of legal counsel?
Right. I think I would put it in terms of moving forward with an RFQ.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, I just for one more second, you're saying we're moving forward with an RFQ. I don't remember hearing that we were going to move forward with an RFQ for legal counsel at any board meeting. Maybe it happened at a board meeting I wasn't at, but I don't know if that needs to be a motion or how. I just want to know how that works.
It's been discussed at the board.
Okay.
And we can certainly bring it up as an agenda item and get a motion from the board to authorize an RFQ.
Okay. I don't know that that's necessary. I'm curious how these things are taking place because I didn't know that that was happening. And so I'm just curious because I think this legal.
So when you want
to define the agenda item to just an RFQ, and I'm asking if we can look at legal counsel in general, like the decision to have Jackson here tonight. That probably cost the district $600.
Less than that, but yes, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. So let's agendize legal services and an RFQ.
Okay.
And we can have that discussion at an appropriate time when it's agendized.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions about disbursements? Okay, moving on. We need a motion to approve the disbursements for the month of August. Can I get a motion?
I move that we approve August disbursements.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Awesome.
Okay. Any further discussion? Can you call the roll, Katie?
Sure. Hang on 2 seconds. Sorry. Jim?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Ishvi?
Yes.
And Dennett?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to pass around the signature page, if you wouldn't mind.
Under consent agenda, number 7, the only thing we have here is the approval of the minutes from August 28th, 23, and we have to make one amendment to that, mm-hmm. which is while on all of the action items, Ishvi was listed as not present, he was actually listed as present in the overall minutes. Is that correct?
Yes, I made a mistake.
And you were not there, so...
At the last meeting.
So we need a motion that includes that amendment to the minutes to approve.
I make a motion.
Actually, let me just go. I'm sorry. We're going to number 8, discussion of possible action regarding any consent agenda. item needing separate action. So that's where we're at this point, is to approve the minutes from the August meeting with the amendment that Ishvi was not present.
I'll make a motion to do that.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I will second.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, can we call the roll?
Sure, Jim?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Ishvi?
Yes.
Denek?
Yes, thank you. Okay, item number nine. Discussion of possible action to approve the 3-year service and maintenance agreement for the Erzen blower, is that correct?
That is correct. Because it is, how much is it? I forget. Well, at any rate, there it is. There is the contract pricing. It is over Ryan's ability to approve it. This is an annual thing. This is an annual contract for maintenance of the Erzen blower, which, as discussed before, we need the blower. So it is in our best interest to approve the contract.
Okay, and so staff recommends approval.
It's for $25,000 or something, isn't it?
Sorry. No, it's okay. $25,000.
Where I don't think so. I think it's $3,900 a year.
Yeah, it's $3,900 a year.
$3,900 a year. Okay, sorry.
It's a 3-year agreement. So can I get a motion?
Wait, what do they do for that? They monitor the blower?
Yeah, they come out. If there are any equipment failures or issues, they will send a technician out in order to help. They also do annual maintenance and... just kind of making sure that everything is...
Once a year, they come out and go over the equipment.
Okay.
I move that we approve the contract.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you. Any further questions?
Jim?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Ishvi?
Yes.
And Denek?
Yes. Okay. New business, 9B, discussion of possible action to approve resolution 2023-317, resolution of the Mendocino Community Services District to adopt mitigated negative declaration, making responsible agency findings, approving the project, and adopting a mitigation monitoring and reporting program from the recycled water system project. This is in conjunction with the schools. I think actually at this point you probably should leave just out of an abundance of caution, because you have a service contract not dealing with this, but dealing with something else with the Mendocino Unified School District. So, thank you. We'll get somebody out there to ask you to come back. So we've got material for this, and Katie and Jim, do you want to describe what this is about?
Jim, do you want to start?
Sure. Okay. This is... related to the CEQA document that was prepared for the recycled water project that the school is the lead agency for, and they have adopted that mitigated negative declaration, and they have a mitigation monitoring plan that goes along with that. And because of the funding mechanism, that the school is still the lead for this project, but we're going to be the recipients of the funding to be able to do the project itself. And so we're required to adopt this resolution that basically tells the state that we are the ones that's going to be responsible for the mitigation monitoring. And that's what this resolution is, saying. And then the funds would be coming in for the project, and we would be the one kind of overseeing the mitigation monitoring. And that's what they're wanting to see, so that they can fund this project.
This would all be done through GHD, too.
Yes,
correct.
Through
the engineering firm that we
use. Yeah. So I read that whole thing.
Yeah.
And I talked to Ryan extensively about it because I couldn't quite understand what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. But what kind of mitigation measures are we actually talking about?
basically BMPs, best management practices, like erosion control during the the digging of the trenches for the pipes, and you know, controlling the runoff.
So my question is, why are we going to be held responsible for that? Won't this thing go out to bid to a contractor who's done the work, and they have to be responsible for the BMPs?
Yes, they're the ones that would be adhering to the BMPs, and they would have to be, you know, putting the wattles up and those kind of things. It's not us doing the wattles.
So we're just saying, because we're going to make sure that any contractor that we award to is going to do the BMPs? I mean, what I'm getting at, and this is trying to get an answer from Ryan, is I want to make sure that by signing this thing, we're not opening ourselves up to a large responsibility that says, hey, you have to handle all of this. GHD is an engineering firm. They're not going to have men in the field doing this work either. And they're going to presumably...
No, they're going to be overseeing it. So they're going to be...
They're going to be doing project management.
Yeah, they're project management team.
They're going to be responsible for project management after the bid is awarded?
I believe they are, but that could be a question.
No, I think that's true.
Okay, so why don't we have GHD certify that all the BMPs are going to be followed?
I think it's because they're not receiving the grant funds, and it's because we're the ones receiving the grant funds. The CEQA mitigation monitoring plan has to go to the public agency that is going to be overseeing.
And you guys are comfortable signing this? You don't see any?
I'm comfortable signing it. I think the recycled water program is hugely important. There's a lot of money at stake, and this is required by the state to be able to move forward with that.
Who wrote this paperwork?
GHD, I think probably most of it. Fair?
Do you know who wrote this?
Yeah, that's Matt Kennedy, GHD.
Okay. So we're just basically, I mean, I agree with you that we want to pursue this project.
Right.
But what we're basically saying is this is paperwork that's required to pursue this project. And I just want to make sure that the paperwork doesn't put us on the hook for something that we're not prepared to handle.
Characterize it a little differently, but I think the hook is I understand your concern. This is an action that was adopted by the school district.
Mm-hmm.
And since the state is going to send the money through us in order to make this happen, we need to adopt it.
The mitigation monitoring plan, right?
Yeah. Okay. And so that's what all this paper is.
Yeah.
And the funding is going to come through us and then go to the school district?
The funding is going to come through us and be developed by GHD, who is working for us as well as for the school district. There'll be some level of coordination. The funding will cover the cost of it.
Right. I'm just trying to figure out if the school district is the lead agency on this project, and they're presumably have the main contract with GHD.
So let me make a suggestion.
Yeah.
If you're, I think if you're comfortable moving forward, we should vote on it. But if you're not comfortable moving forward, let's table it.
Well, I think
bring Ryan back with Matt from GHD so that all of these questions can be answered.
Well, let me just put it this way. I think I can be made comfortable by it if you guys are both comfortable with it. I talked to Ryan extensively about it, and I honestly couldn't understand what we were doing perfectly. And so if you guys have more experience with this or like, hey, you know what, this is fine, sign it, then I can be made comfortable.
Let me make a suggestion, because I don't feel adequately, I mean, I've read through most of this and kind of understand the general gist of I don't know that I could answer your questions in a compelling way. So
but I think it is time sensitive too for Ryan.
It is time sensitive.
So I don't know that we want to table it. If you got, you know. Mm-hmm.
So can I just
I'm comfortable
read?
Moving forward.
Okay.
Yeah, so let me just read what Ryan has. And this is in his superintendent's report. So
yep.
I'll read it now. And then I won't read it when it's time to read this so that it's not redundant. He says, we continue to work with GHD, the State Water Resources Control Board, Division of Financial Assistance, and senior State Water Resources Control Board environmental scientists to work on a path towards funding necessary upgrades. The State Water Resources Control Board, Department of Financial Assistance, environmental scientists are helping to make sure the appropriate CEQA process is being followed. The current plan is for MCCSD to be the implementing agency for both the MCCSD recycled water supply upgrades and the MUSD recycled water storage and distribution upgrades. MCCSD will be requesting the funding and implementing the various phases of the project. So MUSD remains the lead agency and MCCSD becomes the implementing agency. But and it's adopt or it's accepting and adopting these documents, which the school board already adopted. They are the environmental documents, and we're saying yes, we accept these documents. Right. We need to accept these documents in order to continue moving forward with the project.
Right. And the school board already adopted these same
correct.
Documents.
Yes.
All right. That was all right. Okay. Let's all go down together. No.
Any further questions? Okay. Can we get a motion to adopt? The resolution, adopt resolution 2023-317.
I so move.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, okay. Can you call the roll?
Yeah, give me just a second.
Sure. I do have one more question. Donna's recusing herself because she works for MUSD in a similar capacity, is that right?
She doesn't deal with recycled water, but out of an abundance of caution, we don't want to create an appearance of a potential conflict of interest.
But that's the appearance would be because she works for MUSD.
Yeah.
In some other capacity.
In some other capacity,
okay.
Yes.
I got you. Yeah. And this is a joint venture with MUSD.
It is out of an abundance of caution.
I'm just trying to understand where that would be.
So she recused herself, just to be clear. Yeah.
Okay. Jim?
Yes.
Ishvi?
Yes.
Denick?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for struggling through.
Do you mind, Dan? Thank you.
Okay. District Superintendent's Report?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll wait until Donna's back, though.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Donna. Donna, I forgot about you. I'm sorry.
I didn't forget.
Yeah,
great. Okay,
thank you.
The district superintendent's report, September 2023. Wastewater treatment plant, operators performed routine repair and maintenance to the wastewater treatment plant in September 2023. We had a visit from three State Water Resources Control Board regional regulators on September 19. Regulators were very interested to see our air line and hear about the progress of the temporary emergency replacement. Overall, it was a very positive visit and no violations or major concerns were identified. Outfall update. Alpha diving is still waiting on boat repairs and ocean conditions before conducting the annual survey work. GHD has nearly completed the effluent dilution evaluation and the draft looks very positive. Recycled water. MCCSD did not transfer any recycled water during the month of September. And I already read the other part of his recycled water report. MCCSD did not transport any biosolids in the month of September. Staff continue to work with GHD on grant proposals. The MUSD MCCSD Emergency Water Storage and Supply Project went out to bid and only one bid was received. It came in at 56% above budget. GHD, MUSD, and the state DFA, which is the Department of Financial Assistance, I believe, are evaluating options. We do not have any updates on the Clean Water State Revolving Fund application to assess most aspects of the wastewater treatment plant collections and treatments. At the time that he wrote this, this sentence was true, but I'll update it in a second. It says, we have had no recent communication from ESS or EKI grant writing consultants. I believe it was either today or yesterday that Ryan spoke with Sudi, who is from ESS grant writing, and I believe there's a plan in place to...
Set up a meeting next week. To begin that process.
Terrific. Safety meeting. We conducted a 30-minute monthly safety meeting. It was held September 29. The topic was back protection. There were no sanitary sewer overflow reports for the period of April 12, 2023 to September 29, 2023, and that concludes the superintendent's report.
Thank you. Any questions?
Being as the superintendent isn't here, I don't know if we can answer these questions, but I have a question about that bid. Yeah. Who was the single bidder that we received it from?
It was Wallen Construction, and they're the construction company that worked with us on phase one of the wastewater treatment plant upgrades. And so they built the lab and did a bunch of extensive electrical upgrades.
And so now we're going to go back to GHD and have them revise the scope to try to get this thing into budget? Is that our plan, you think?
So my understanding is that we aren't going to do that, but that MUSD is able to do that. MUSD is able to go back to the state and say, here's our situation. We have one bid. It's much higher. But to my understanding, that falls to MUSD rather than us.
And that's largely a question about money.
Yes.
Plus other benefits.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, or potentially modifying the specifications for the project, right?
Because
usually when something comes in over bid, we have to reduce the scope.
Thank you, Dan.
to try to get it into the budget. Is that how these things are likely to go? Or we don't know because MUSD is the lead agency on this.
We don't know. That would be...
That's a good question.
That would be a good question for Ryan. Can we get an answer to the board on that from Ryan?
Sure.
I guess my concern is that, you know, touching on the last bid that we just put out where we got one bid back from Cronin, and we had paid GHD to give us a three option, basically, but not a bid packet. That wasn't very useful to us because the bid packet that we gave Cronin wasn't 100% complete. Because we didn't have, the valve wasn't specified, so the valve is now on top of that. And I told Ryan already, I said, Ryan, if you're going to have GHD write up anything for us, it needs to be a complete specification. It's not, you know, it needs to be a bid packet, not a general survey or study. Because I don't know about you guys, but I never saw the three various options even before it went out to bid. It just went out to bid. And I guess with this much larger project, anecdotally, I was talking to the well driller, and he's telling me that the way that they specified the wells to be drilled up there, they're using some specialized core bit that, you know, nobody has, and they're monitoring the extractions every 10 feet going down, taking core samples, and they're only going 40 feet, and then additional depth is going to be built additionally, and I'm kind of wondering, like, I know we're relying on GHD for technical help, but we've got to have some idea ourselves as we pursue these projects how we want to direct GHD and how we want to work with them, because I think it's really, really common if we just give an engineering firm carte blanche to get into this situation where we're 2 years down the line and we're 56% over budget. So I don't know if we have any ability to have a discussion with GHD about that, because it's not very productive.
I think we certainly have the ability to have a discussion. I mean, I think you've got unique experience this year that I don't have in terms of this kind of stuff. Ryan's got experience this much. There are some things that are going to fall outside of that. I think my suggestion would be that you have a discussion with Ryan and figure out on the bidding kinds of things what... Are there different approaches? What additional might be needed? I don't want to contract with additional people, but if you're dealing with a multi-million-dollar project, maybe it makes sense to hire someone else to have a look at some elements of it. So I think there's a discussion to be had that might be helpful in charting a path forward to make sure that, one, we're getting the best deal, we're getting effective
right.
The distribution of bid opportunities and good bids back.
And let me just ask you one more on that front then. If I talk to Ryan, to your knowledge, do we have a contact at GHD that we can talk to, or are we billed every time we talk to them? Do you know?
I don't think we're billed every time we talk to them.
Okay.
I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure.
We're not?
We're not.
No.
Okay.
I think they have made a decision to work with us and to support our efforts on the assumption that they're going to get design money.
Okay.
Yeah.
then I'll try to get clarification from Ryan, who to talk to at GHD, and then I'll have a conversation with somebody over there to see if I can get an understanding about this.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And I think also a thing for us to understand is, you know, the difference between your construction and business, and then there's a difference between
public contracting
and public. So that's something, that's the other complicating factor, you know, when we start doing things with public and, you know, public projects, you know, they might follow a little different pathway than.
I think the path is probably significantly different than when you're when you're looking to sub something.
Yeah. Right. So that's something else to just kind of keep in mind.
To be aware of, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay. Anything else on superintendent's report? Okay, moving forward, agenda item 11, old business.
Just going back to the outfall and relying on these folks to do this survey. Seems like we're in the same spot every year with these guys. And it would be probably a good idea to kind of revisit that again to see if we can find somebody else that could be maybe a little more, receptive to our needs. Just get it done.
Are they an engineering firm also?
I think
hard to say.
Like, what are the requirements? Do we just need somebody to go down there and take pictures? Or
no. They have to be certified. For
underwater welding.
Yeah.
For underwater welding.
Welding and also underwater engineer.
So we can. I think that's a conversation with Ryan.
Oh, yeah. I know they have to have special.
And I think
credentials for this.
I think he has put some effort into trying to find other sources, but
we seem to really come back to that.
It's a little challenging for this area. But
yeah.
Okay. So moving to agenda item 11, old business, discussion and possible action to approve the bid submitted by Cronin Custom Metals for the airline project. This is an essential project for the district to get this repaired. I think he's had conversations with you about this. I think you were helpful to him. So we have a bid, if I understand, of, and this is a stainless steel replacement of an airline going from our pumps and blowers to the septic treatment system that is actually a essential part of the sewage treatment program. So it's got to be done. We authorized $100,000 previously for it, and the bid came in at $101,000 plus change. So it's pretty close. And then there's a second item with respect to giving Ryan the authority to purchase a pump, right?
It's a valve.
It's a valve.
Thank you. So we're looking for a motion under 11A to essentially authorize the bid that we've gotten of $101,000. I think he's gotten clarification on some of the questions that you raised.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's pretty good. I don't think we have a lot of choice. I told Ryan, though, that I do think, and I think we should all be aware of this, that when we put out something to bid, we want to make sure we have a complete bid package, because the valve was left out because it wasn't specified by GHD. They left that out. They came back and said, hey, there's, you know, a whole bunch of valves ranging in cost from $2,500 to $20,000 or whatever. And I told Ryan what he needs to do is go back to GHD and tell them to specify the valve. And hopefully not get charged for that specification, because we're going to accept both of these bids, I think, you know, but there is room still in this for there to be a mess, because the valve has to fit the pipes, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the only point I would like to make is, I think rather than authorizing Ryan up to a limit pay for a bid, I think we as a board should see the bids. Mm-hmm. The bids should come back, and then we should choose a bid and authorize the expenditure. I think it'd be cleaner. I think it'll force the bidders to make a presentation that is not just to Ryan, but has to be given to us, it's a $100,000 contract, we should see that contract. If it's a $10,000 contract, yeah, Brian should take care of that. But when we're looking at a $100,000 contract, I think we should see it. I told Brian that. I was also discouraged a little bit by the process of using stainless steel pipe for something that is quote unquote temporary, but we know how temporary actually likely will end up. So I don't think we have any options, but also I'll make a motion to approve both of those expenditures.
Okay, well, let's do the first one first. A.
Oh, okay. Well, I did talk to Ryan a little bit about this as well, and he understands about the valve that was left out. But I think what his plan is to actually buy the valve once they've decided which size it is, to save that markup that the contractor would do, and then we would then supply them with that valve. So at least we'd be recouping some of that.
Correct. It's just the specification of that valve needs to come from GHD.
Has to come from somebody,
And they're the engineer of record, so it has to come from them. And I want to make sure that GHD doesn't now say to us, well, we didn't do construction drawings, we just did a preliminary idea. Here's another bill for $10,000.
So I think in this process, just to answer, to respond to what you said, I think it might be helpful to bring back I assume that there is a bidding policy, but to bring that back for review by the board and to update it to some extent so that the procedure is a little clearer and more specific in terms of what's required.
Yeah.
Okay.
Add that to the agenda.
So we've got a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? Can you call the roll?
Jim?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Ishvi?
Yes.
Denick?
Yes. So that accepts the bid. And then the second item under 11 B is discussion and possible action to approve a $10,000 spending limit for the superintendent to purchase the valve that's needed.
There we go.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so is there a motion on that? This is above his description.
I'll move the motion.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
I would just like to say that, again, I'd like to have direction go to Ryan that I'd much rather see the bid. I'd like to know what the bid specification is for that valve. There's no reason that we should be authorizing the funding ahead of seeing what it is that we're going to purchase. Because there could be discussions about what type of valve. Let's make sure this valve is correct. He's going to have to do that round robin, and if he finds out that the valve is $12,500,
he's going to have to come back. Yeah.
So he needs to get out ahead of requesting funding with specification for us to look at funding together.
Yeah.
In this case, we're working along. So
okay, and I think to Ryan's credit, he's worked for the district for about 3 years and has learned a tremendous amount, and will continue learning
for sure
in this process. And I think this sort of thing helps. Okay, so we have a motion on the floor. We have a second. Any further discussion? Can you call the roll?
Tor, Jim.
Yes.
Donna.
Yes.
Ishvi.
Yes.
Denick.
Yes. Item number 12, we have a groundwater management report.
We do. Okay. October 1, 2022 is the beginning of the 2022-23 rain year. Average annual precipitation in Mendocino is 39.72 inches, and average rainfall in September is 0.59 inches. 0.49 inches of rainfall has been measured in the district for the month as of September 25th. Total rainfall for rain year 21-22 was 33.82 inches. Mendocino received 85% of normal annual rainfall during the last water year. By September 25, 2023, total rainfall since October 1st, 2022 was 41.92 inches, or 106% of the average annual rainfall. The average depth to water measurements district-wide in the 24 monitoring wells on September 25th, 2023 was 17.84 feet. Depth to water averages are about 0.75 feet lower than August of 2023, about 0.37 feet better than August of 2022, and about 2.09 feet better than August of 2021.
compared to an above average rain year like 2019, which received 45.64 inches or 115% of average annual rainfall, the average depth to water in September is currently about 0.87 inches below that of 2019. Following the water shortage contingency plan, the MCCSD board declared on April 19, 2023, that no water shortage exists within the MCCSD boundaries. According to the water shortage contingency plan calendar for declaring water shortage, if a water shortage is not declared by the end of May, no further evaluation is required until the following January 31. MCCSD staff will continue to monitor and follow the plan. The water table is on average at its lowest during the next 2 months. The superintendent recommends continued caution and conservation.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, moving to committee updates. Are there any? Okay, moving to 14 matters from board members.
I have a couple.
Please.
I think we should consider having one, adding an at-large seat to our board so that we could have one seat filled by people who don't necessarily live in the district but have interest in the district. I think that'd be a good thing to agendize. And sort of like in my comments in number five, I think we should continue to talk about groundwater and community water system. I think it's extremely complicated. I don't think that the restaurant owners understand that when they get this letter, that's when the rubber's going to meet the road as to whether or not they're in compliance with this. And it's very hard to wrap our minds around, and I think that this was a good meeting, but I'd like to see us continue to hold public meetings, particularly with the focus on the community water system. I think it's extremely complicated, and it's going to take dedicated effort on our parts if we want to see this thing happen. So I for one, would like to see that on the agenda again. I don't know if there's support for that within the board.
For me, there's support. Support for having a discussion about a community water system and what's involved in it and getting input from the community about it. There are going to be some people say no way, and there are going to be a lot of people who say yes. And not sure how it's all going to fall, but I think that, in addition to other ways to engage the community. And I think, I'll just leave it at that.
Well, I would tie it. I think it's very tied together with the groundwater management plan. And so I would try to keep the two somewhat, like have the agenda item worded in such a way that it can encompass both of those topics. And the reasoning for me on that is, you noticed there's an emphasis on, using Ed's comments, that there was no water other than the groundwater, and so the groundwater is the water. I don't necessarily think that the studies have bared that out, and I think that the two issues, groundwater management and the community water system, are pretty linked up. Because if we adopt, for the agenda, I don't know how to read. I don't know how you get things on the agenda to word how you want it to word.
Well, you could easily send something to me and to Ryan that, and frame it the way that you want to.
For the agenda item, okay,
yeah, I'll do that. Do that as a suggestion.
Okay,
that would be great. I do think that this is going to be an ongoing conversation.
Yep.
On this board as well as with the community.
Great.
And it's challenging, complicated.
Yep.
Other items for either future board meetings or matters from board members?
Not at this time.
Okay. All right. Then I would like to entertain a motion to adjourn our meeting.
I would. First that forward.
Okay.
I'll there second.
Okay. Ishbi, thank you. All those in favor, raise your hand.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for attending here. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Thank you.
Hey.
y'all. Thanks.